This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Atomic batteries to power turbines to speed it. Bat Squad Radio, episode 15 on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, my name is Kev Ellen, the host of this show, and I'm joined as always by my all-star compatriots here in the New Jersey Bat Squad. First, off to my immediate right is none other than New Jersey Bat Dave.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, you're chewing with your mouth like a pizza bowl.
We have a very special guest with us.
Yes. Well, first, before we get to that, folks, I will bring up somebody with better table manners than Dave, Buster the Bat Dog.
Roof.
Oh, wow. Bass in his voice today. And folks, directly across me, fresh off his third full-body cosplay, is New Jersey Spider Denny. Really?
Hi, guys. These bagels are so good.
Okay, so folks, we are joined by a guest today as well. You know him from 10 episodes ago, episode 5. He is the man that knows everything about nothing. He is the bringer of bagels. He's Gene O'Brien.
Good morning, gentlemen. It was a pleasure to be here with you, Kevin, and of course, the Stafford Rep and Mad Flake of podcast radio.
Wasn't that our worst performing episode, episode 5 with Gene?
No, it was
no,
very popular.
He's very popular.
And Gene is, what do we say? He is the man who knows everything,
everything about nothing.
About nothing.
Yes.
You have money? then you're Batman.
Thanks. So. It's always good to see Gene, but more importantly, it's even better to see the bagels that he brings.
Yes, most certainly. Yes, Gene has brought us bagels this morning.
Shout out.
You're going to hear us all chewing like cows for the entire morning.
And we should say once again that we are outside in the top secret Bat Dave Botanical Gardens. So if
AKA
you hear
your backyard.
If you hear lawnmowers or gunfire, that's what's happening.
Likely.
We have not picked up after Buster in a while. Are we going to talk about anything today?
Hold on. Sorry, I was I had to alert Mort in the sound booth to fix Gene's microphone.
Yes, Mort's a bastard.
You have one job, Mort. Freaky little mutant.
Very important job too, because my words need to be heard by the masses.
Yeah, thank you, Mort, for earning your $0 paycheck this week and proving that you're worth every penny.
I thought we weren't doing scripted bits. Kevin.
There are no scripted bits. Mort is a staple of the WDPN, more so than even you.
All right.
So, folks, how's Buster? How's Buster doing? He sounded pretty good there.
Buster is back on track. He had a medical crisis recently. He had a bacterial infection, and
which he probably got from Dave.
Denny was the first to alert me to the fact that Buster was ill, and we took him to the vet, and he's on meds, and
good.
He's doing much better. Hey.
How is it that Denny alerted you to your dog being sick?
Because I care about animals.
Yeah.
Denny cares more about Buster than Dave.
Yes, wow. This is true.
I get a little self-absorbed at times.
A little? It's like saying the Statue of Liberty is tall, isn't it?
Yeah. For God's sake.
So speaking of animal woes, there was a thing that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. My friend Jasmine, who lives up in Canada, which I love Canada, we all know. She has a dachshund, long-haired dachshund, looks kind of like a
hippie Buster.
Yeah, hippie Buster. she is having an issue, herniated disc in the spine. Her back legs are paralyzed, and she is actually doing a GoFundMe to raise money for the surgery. So, folks, if you can donate anything, it's a good cause. It's animal causes are always close to my heart because I like animals more than people. So
I agree on that.
Wise move.
That's probably the only time you hear Kevin and Denny agree on anything.
Yeah.
True.
So, folks, if you want to donate to this wonderful cause, please go to www.gofundme.com/Shiloh's Back. So that's SHILOHSBACK. Gofundme.com/Shiloh's Back. It would be very much appreciated. Anything you guys can spare, show that the WDPN audience cares. And, you know, you might not care about Dave or Denny or me or Gene.
Well, I'll bring bagels if you care.
Yes. Yeah, Gene will bring you all bagels. So, okay, we ready to jump into this week's show?
Oh, boy, am I.
It was a busy couple weeks for us.
Yeah, busy year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the entire con...
Spring 2015
season. It's over.
There's something called Awesome Con in Washington. We're going to have to skip on that because that's Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
You're talking to people that went to shows on Easter weekend and Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, we did.
We're bastards, but we're not going to do Awesome Con.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, the one big con that we just did was Wizard World Philly, and we had a great time at Wizard World Philly.
Yes, we always love anything related to Philadelphia, and those wizard shows are awesome.
You know what? This is my first wizard show. I've never done a wizard convention
really?
Before.
Really? I didn't know that.
Wow.
It was my first ever time going to a wizard con. And I got to say, I was supremely impressed with everything. Like, everything from the care that went into, like dealing with the press. And Jerry Milani, yeah. I mean, he was amazing to deal with.
Yeah, like, he's a really good guy.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they were offering people interviews. They were, you know, it was just very well done and very professional from top to bottom. And the show itself, I mean, you know, right in the heart of Philadelphia, right in, like, the nice area of Philly.
Yes.
That Pennsylvania Convention Center is beautiful.
Well, I want to say, too, an addendum to last episode where you guys were gloating, thinking that I had not gotten Wizard Philly press when you had.
Right.
There was a slight glitch in their system. Somehow it had bumped me to unsubscribed. They didn't see my name in the system.
They probably did it on purpose.
I called Jerry, old-fashioned phone call, and within by the next morning, he had found the problem and sent me my press pass credentials. So
awesome.
He's a great guy. Oh, come on. No, we had a blast. We did so much. We saw so many people. And as a first-timer, what do you think?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, here's the thing that I like the most. Like, the one thing I don't like in New York is how packed in the main show floor gets to the point where, like,
dangerous.
You feel like you're in danger, and you feel claustrophobic and germophobic. And yeah. Even a non-germaphobe can become a germaphobe at New York Comic Con. But the thing I noticed in Wizard World Philly was that the aisles on the floor, the main floor, were very wide.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They expanded that because the last couple years, it used to be a lot skinnier. But I guess from the fans and everyone saying, hey, you know, it's getting a little crowded, blah, 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 they definitely opened them
up. I mean, it was packed. It was supremely packed. Yeah. And but with the aisles being that wide, I never felt that sense of impending dread.
Unless you were standing next to David Jay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll touch upon David
later. The other thing I thought was interesting is the way you have to purchase celebrity autographs and pictures. You go to a ticket booth. And you buy the selfie or the autograph or the photo op at the ticket booth, and they give you a ticket. You come back later during the time. You can't get a refund. So that negates the whole, like, I think I'm going to go get Lou Ferrigno's autograph. Ugh, look at that line. I'm not waiting on that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Is it a specific time for your, like, in other words, Kevin Kessler shows up at, like, 9:15, and you be there at 9:15, and you get your shot, or you just stand in line at 9:15 with, like, 100 other people?
Yeah, well, what happened was, like, so for my wife was on a quest to meet her doppelganger, Summer Glau.
Okay.
And so, you know, we bought the ticket at, like, I mean, what was it? It was early, like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Summer Glau wasn't there until 12:30, so we need to come back at 12:30. Then you get in the line that forms around the time that she gets there.
Yeah, but you still have to stand in a long line, even if you do have it at 12:30.
There was a long line.
It's not like a hopper at Disney.
No, definitely not. But it basically just gets you to the point where you can't be like, oh, screw this line. I'm not waiting in it. Like, you already paid your money. You're waiting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, now you said you liked that, right?
I did like
I'm
that.
I'm a little iffy with it because you're standing in the line to get, like, the ticket.
It's two lines,
and then you
got
to stand in another line. So
I thought it took away a lot of the like the awkwardness of having to, like, stand there and shell out the cash in front of the celebrity.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. Yeah,
awkward.
For that reason, I totally agree with it. That's why I do like it.
They started doing something like that at Chiller, and I just did it for Anne Margaret.
Okay,
what you do is you buy them ahead of time. You buy them online. Mm-hmm. They send you the receipt. Then you go to, I guess, whatever the room is, where, and the check-in. Then you get on a massive line.
Mm-hmm.
And from the time it took me to get online to the time that photographer actually snapped the shutter was about an hour.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, based on some of the stories I'm hearing from you guys, is probably, like, you know, a nothing, like a blink of the eye.
Wait, Dave, did he say he went to Chiller?
Yeah.
Yes,
I
did.
Here we go.
Did he invite us?
But, Gene, yeah. You should tell the listeners that don't know what Chiller Theater is. What is Chiller Theater?
How can they not know? You guys have mocked it incessantly.
No, we've mocked you incessantly.
Oh,
we love Chiller. Chiller's like,
oh, now you love Chiller.
Chiller was initially a horror-based Comic-Con type sci-fi and old
25
movies.
Years this October.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done
and
it.
They're really, really good shows. They're up in North Jersey, right? Parsippany area.
Indeed. 25 years and never gave us one ticket.
Gene has inside access to the Chiller staff.
Dig it in there deep.
He never, ever,
dig
ever.
It in there deep. Denny said, we don't like Chiller. I'm like, okay, I will.
That's not
I
true.
I don't want you to go
Chiller.
To.
I did not say that.
No, I said I could imagine that you said that.
But we, I didn't. Not, feel, not this show.
No. No. All kidding aside, Gene's a great guy, but we do feel he doesn't make it a strong enough effort to get me and Denny into these chiller shows for free.
All right, here's a question I have for you.
It's Gene's job to let you glom off him?
As you know, if
yeah,
you
he just
are,
grows bagels.
If you are a friend of ours, you there is some work involved.
We
in
give you some.
Our
we
friend.
Have to give you free stuff.
Just be accommodating. Right,
here's something I have to, a question for the two of you. Denny said to me, we get people that come up to us and say, hey, you're New Jersey Bat Dave and Denny, and give you free tickets. And my
that
point was that they don't know you yet.
Right.
So is that – do people like accost you on the street and say, hey, it's New Jersey Bat Dave?
And happened to Denny once.
It did.
Did it really?
Yeah.
In a movie theater.
Yep.
I guess what I like least
probably because he's more popular.
I hate that happened at Denny once. By the way,
I think the worst part of the whole Gene Chiller connection is the night before Chiller starts, they have a pre-Chiller party, and Gene posts a picture of him smoking a cigar with the staff at Chiller, and
they're my friends
with my Chiller friends, and yeah,
Dave is so jealous that the attention is not on
really
him.
Are.
He is
25 years of being snubbed. We've done many great.
You go to how many
films?
Cons?
I don't think I've known you 25 years.
Yeah. You go to how many cons a year? Gene goes to this one con
once
a year.
Yeah, all right.
All right, take me with you into like a Comic Con, and I'll get you into Chiller. How's that?
All right, sounds all right. Good.
All right, so Jackie,
for free, for free. Let me add for free, like you guys.
We have to shut you down for a bit. What about Wizard Philly?
Jackie meeting Summer Glau was awesome.
Yeah,
she's cute.
They look very, very similar.
Summer Glau, just to be clear.
I know. I think
so is your wife, but yeah. I just don't want
I think
the...
Kevin's wife is prettier than Summer Glau.
They look pretty much...
she's taller.
They look like taller. Sisters. Yeah, she is taller. But I was afraid that we were going to get up there, and Summer Glau was going to be like, I don't see it. But like she did like a double take when we walked up.
That's funny.
Hey, you're paying to meet these people. She's going to see it.
No, well, before I even said anything, like she looked at Jackie and her eyes got big. And Jackie's like, yeah, people say I kind of look like you.
Well, that's the same thing
that
happened when I met Brad Pitt. He's like, dude.
He said, you look like Summer Glau?
I was like, look at
either way, it doesn't matter. Still look prettier than me.
Yeah, seriously. But then, you know, the other thing, we could not get rid of Lou Ferrigno all day.
Right.
That was funny.
Every time I turned around, there was Lou Ferrigno.
Yep.
It happened like five different times. Then we leave the con. We're outside on the streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm sitting there,
I turn
I'm sitting
around
there eating a sandwich.
And there's Lou Ferrigno.
There he's filming like a car commercial in front of the convention center.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then I'm filming a tight shot of Burt Reynolds, who he looked a little rough. Burt Reynolds is almost 80. It looked like an old
Jared
person
Ferguson.
Doing cosplay of Burt Reynolds. But God bless him. Burt Reynolds was there. And all of a sudden, Lou Ferrigno walks into the frame, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool.
Mm. Sounds kind of desperate, though.
They said that was his first con in, like, 20 years or something?
Who, Burt Reynolds?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever done one.
No, I feel like Burt Reynolds was at a Chiller a couple years ago.
No.
I feel like he was. I feel like I was at that one.
I think he was supposed to be there, and I think he canceled.
Oh, okay.
So technically.
That makes a little more sense.
Well, he's having tax problem issues with the IRS, so he's been having to sell off everything.
Really?
Just give all of his personal information out.
I know, right?
You want to give a social security number while you're at it?
This is common knowledge. And but they did have a fella at the show with the Smokey and the Bandit car, right? Or no?
I'm not sure.
Is it a replica or is it the actual car?
It was the actual car. They actually found someone in California that had the car. I don't know if it made its way. They're supposed to pay X amount of dollars to put it onto the train and then bring it all the way here. And then what's the other car? There's another car that they're supposed to... I can't remember that sits next to it. I don't remember. But that whole thing, they said that it's supposed to be there, but something happened because maybe it was too much or something. I don't know.
But
Bert
did come over and autograph the sun visor to our friend that has a Dukes of Hazzard car. He has a General Lee, but since he's from the Garden State, our friend Tom Felice calls his car the Jersey General.
Right.
And Bert came over and autographed something for him. So
that's cool.
There was a lot going on. Anywhere you look at a Wizard show, not just Philly, any Wizard show, you just turn your head and there's something going on.
I was incredibly impressed with the guest list. But you know, Lou Ferrigno, I mean, that guy is still massive.
He's jacked.
Good Lord, at his age. You know, I said hi to him a few times, but it didn't seem like he heard me.
Well, because he's a little deaf.
that was the joke.
And really,
I know.
I would ignore Kevin, too, at a show, you know?
Well, especially when we're dressed up like freaking Time Lord rejects.
So basically, we're saying Wizard Philly, there's a lot of upsides. Was there any downsides to the show?
I have a big one.
What?
Hanging out with you guys.
Aw. Well, that's not really. Well, if we're gonna get personal, the downside had nothing to do with the actual show. The show was wonderful. But we have a compatriot. He is an original member of Bat Squad Studios. one of our founding members, a nice fellow we call Super David J.
You didn't even introduce me to him when he was standing right there when I came over to trust
You know
me.
What's funny is he walked into work, and then he goes, you know what? Goes, we didn't introduce him. We totally forgot. We thought you met him before.
He looks like a nice guy compared to you guys.
Super David
you
J.
You in particular. I'm
Super David J is a wonderful person. He's a great friend, but he's not someone you want to go to a Comic-Con with, right?
Well,
Danny?
If you're going to dress him up in a Thor costume that's like, you know, Thor, you know.
No, force him to.
Force him.
We'll get into
so
what.
That's the thing. David J does not like wearing these costumes.
He doesn't.
Right.
No, Do you blame him?
He is there to buy an obsessively massive amount of comic books, and he gets very annoyed with Dave throughout the course of it.
Yes. But
I will say, when we first got there for the whole first hour of the con, Dave was ready to murder David J. Because David J. had Dave's all-important backpack with his costume.
It was not important. He had his wallet. He had his phone. He had his camera. There was nothing but his crappy props in this bag. And this guy was going insane. Like, he just, like, had $1 million sitting in there.
Yeah, you would have thought David J. took, like, the nuclear codes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen,
the way that he was acting.
Maybe this is a bad analogy, but it's probably like when a woman loses her purse. It was all I could think about for the first hour.
It would be exactly like a woman losing her purse with
yes,
you.
It would.
But here's,
yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing about David J., and this is just the appetizer to the problems that I really had with David J. The show just opens. I made the mistake of being a good friend, and I left my backpack with David J. in line. They're going to open the show at 10. Now, I don't know, all of a sudden, they're opening the show at 9:45.
Yeah, they open a little early.
Goodness of my heart, I go outside on the streets of Philly, and I wave down Kevin and Jackie. Hey, Kevin and Jackie, come on, we're inside online. We go back inside. The line is gone. Dave's gone. My backpack is gone. And I'm just freaking out. Now, what would a real responsible adult do? A person would say, oh, you know what? I have my friend's backpack, and I'm going to call him the second the show opens.
Personally, if it was your backpack, I would have left it there and went inside.
And call police and report a suspicious package.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why you're not a good friend. We just keep you around because you can edit footage.
And bagels.
And bagels for you, footage for him. But the thing is, he waited over an hour. And I finally, when he finally found me, I found him. The show's getting packed now. And I go, why did you wait so long to contact me about my book bag? He goes, I didn't think it was important.
Yeah,
it
was in all honesty, though, David J. should have, like, if
he should have just waited for you.
He should have waited right inside, and that's it. I agree with that.
I would have at least done that, but quite frankly, at that point, I probably wouldn't have cared.
But it was great because Denny was off on his own, so it was just me and Dave, and Jackie went off on her own. So I said to Dave, I'm like, all right, let's think like David J. Let's figure out where David J. would go.
Where's the food?
Yeah, we were going. we hit up all of the comic book locations and food locations.
Well, David J. does like to eat, and I don't want to turn this whole episode 15 into a David J. bashing marathon, but what really killed me was you go to Wizard Philly, you want to be there. You want to be surrounded by it all.
Right.
David J. was a constant distraction the whole day, and we're going to touch upon the whole cosplay, and I do force my friends into cosplay.
He wanted out of that Time Lord Reject costume
in the worst way. We'll talk about our Doctor Who parody in a little bit, but the thing was, The coup de grace of David J. just ruining the show for me was he buys excessive amounts of comics. He's got a bad back. He can't carry the boxes, not uh-huh. bags. He can't carry the long white boxes of comics by himself.
Right.
We're outside waiting for him. He texts Denny. He tells Denny, I'm in aisle 1600. Come and get me. Denny's like, I'm not going to go get him. That's the kind of friend Denny is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm tired. My feet are killing me. I'll go back in. David J. is not under the aisle 1600 banner. I go back out. This is like 14 escalators, stair steps, this and that. I'm tired already. Come back out. Then he goes, he just texted me. He's by the pirate ship.
Yeah,
on
the big
exit 1600.
Ship, yeah.
Like, you couldn't tell me that the first time. So I said, we're all going back for
the
guy.
Dave goes, maybe the pirates can help him carry his damn
bag.
He was so mad.
Yeah, he was so mad.
So we go back there.
Well, I will also point out that David J. was probably standing out 1600 with the books, like ready, like needing to leave.
Yeah.
And Dave, as he's about to go in the building, spots Lou Ferrigno for the 15th time that day and stops to film him for 10 minutes.
Yep.
So, of course, David J. moved.
And there was some cosplay hotties that I talked to briefly.
We
digress. The point was, when we do finally find David J. by the pirate ship with his two giant boxes of comics, now he's like a giant man-child. And he looks at us, all of us, with those little baby eyes. And he's like, can someone please help me bring the comic books to my car? It's parked in a parking garage. And no one else wants to help him. And I'm like, because I'm a good friend, I said, I will help you. Let's do this. We're outside now on the streets of Philly. He's walking into the wrong parking garages. And I'm like, Dave, let me see your tickets. Let me see your ticket stub. And it's the only time I'll defend him. Me and Denny parked in a different place. Our ticket stub said Joe's Parking Garage, 1220 Main Street, phone number. David J. had this pink, vague ticket with
number in black. When you park somewhere?
Yeah, but it had no identification. So we find this kindly old security guard that left his post in front of some other store. He saw we had problems. And he walks us almost by the hand two blocks around the corner to where David J's park. We take the elevator up. As we're going up the elevator with the comic books, which have exponentially gotten heavier.
There's David Lufrino
J,
again.
David J tells me, sorry about that. I went to the wrong parking garage. But I know for a fact I'm parked in 4D. I'm in 4D. Now we're in 4D. 35 minutes later, I'm sitting on a box of comics in the parking garage. David J still can't find his car. And the show's going on. I'm missing all kinds of awesome
Seinfeld
stuff.
Yeah, right.
And he goes and he finds an attendant. And the attendant goes, oh, there's two different levels of four. You probably want 4A. David J was parked in 4A.
4A.
And the worst part of it, right after he drops his book off, of course, Selfish Dave, he goes, oh, well, being that I helped you with your books, you're going to go buy me a sandwich. So then he walked over to the sandwich place and bought him a sandwich.
Yes.
Right?
He made him buy you a sandwich.
It was the least he could do. And before we get into the
ice cream sandwich?
No, before we had a great chicken, we had a great cheesesteak, because Philly's known for cheesesteaks. I did force David J to buy me lunch. The final act of David J being a complete oaf, and I hope David J does not listen to this episode, was
he's listening to these podcasts now. So like, all right. Yeah, he listens to Watchtower.
Dave
so
makes him do it at work.
Let me tell you, the final act was now we needed to leave at 7 p.m. to go for whatever reason. It's a long day. We want to leave at 7 p.m. get back to New
Jersey.
That's
because our parking was at 7.
Yes, David J decides to leave at 5:30 p.m. And I said, Dave, do you know where your car's parked? Of course I know. Because I said, Dave, it's parked at the corner of whatever and whatever next to an orange Mexican restaurant building. I do know. And like a parent watching a little child, I'm watching him cross the street, and he's walking away, opposite direction from where his car is parked. So now I'm running across the street. The show's going on. Costume contest is about to start. Our friends are in it. And I grab David J, and I walk him up. I get on the elevator with him. I take him to the fourth floor. We hit the key on his, you know, boop, boop. Boop, boop. Yeah. You can see that's his car, and then he drives away. Otherwise, he'd still, sunset. To this day, he'd still be walking around Philly.
I was actually kind of mesmerized by that whole story, too. Yeah. I'm like, it's sort of captured by your narrative storytelling there.
It kind of hurt to listen to it again.
It
though.
Did, yeah.
To relive it, like,
yeah,
nom.
It was horrible. I was just visualizing everything in my head.
Well, what else do we need to talk about, guys?
Well, I mean, we did our first group cosplay at Wizard World Philly.
What the hell is he doing?
Are you really?
Continue. What you're putting a jacket on. It's like 80 out here.
He's donning his. Oh my God, Dave! What are you doing?
No!
So not again.
All right, this isn't a visual medium, though.
You just took off your glasses to put on different glasses.
Well, are we not going to discuss the Time Lord rejects?
Yeah, we can. Those we don't have to be in costume to do it.
I said before we started, I'm like, why do you have all your stupid props and everything out? I was like, are you seriously? He's like, I have to get into character.
Hey, fellas.
So stupid.
Hey, fellas. I feel the Time Lord Rejects was way ahead of its time.
All right. Take the teeth out of your mouth.
I think eventually people are going to look back very fondly on the Time Lord
Is there
Lord
any more
Rejects.
Bagels in there?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a bagel.
Okay.
You should go get a bagel.
Wait. Aren't we going to do our Doctor Who's on first
no.
routine?
No. It wasn't funny at the con. It's not funny now.
You don't want to hear Doctor Who's on first?
No.
I'm wondering where you got that jacket. That's got to be at least a 40-year-old 70s kind of jacket.
I got it at a thrift store in the ladies' aisle. Ladies
All right,
leather.
I can see that.
I can see that too.
Well, having said
it's
that.
It's remarkable how well it fits him, too.
Seriously.
Another scripted bit gone to hell thanks to your passive involvement.
Mm-hmm.
But the Time Lord Rejects, our off-the-cuff Doctor Who parody, it was not a huge success.
You know what? You made a comment at the con that I think was kind of apropos. It's kind of like the Beatles in that it was good when we were all together because people got the joke because we had the name tags, Doctor What, Where,
As a group.
Why, you know. But separately, nobody knew what the heck. Well, first of all, I was the only one that looked like an actual doctor.
Right.
So I saw the picture, that's correct.
And
the other reason I said that I was Paul in the Beatles basically was because I was the only one who got any recognition by himself.
True. But the thing was, Kevin, you know, nice. David Tennant was there, right?
Yeah.
So he's one of the most popular Doctor Who's of all time.
Your argument could be made for the most.
Yeah. I'm a Tom Baker era guy, as you are you too, yeah. Gene, because we're a little bit, we're a year or two older than these guys.
I'm bagging my bagel.
But the thing is, hold on, Buster.
Well, everybody's eating on the show this
Buster's
week.
Buster's having a refreshment. And anyhow, the thing was, it was a very Doctor Who-centric show if you want it to be. There's Doctor Who booths, Doctor Who merchandise, this and that.
Right.
So about a week, and Denny can verify, a week before the show, I do this doodle. It's a stupid idea. I said, Denny, I saw this horribly suede, plaid, leather, brown, all kinds of browns and tans and beige leather jacket at a thrift store. I said, I think I could pull off, like, what if Austin Powers or Jerry Lewis was a Time Lord? Mm-hmm. Not a very good one. And then I did a doodle. I have this old fez hat. We found out later it's a very valuable fez hat. And I said, why doesn't Denny do like a Morocco mole time traveling Doctor Who? And David J could be, what if Jim Morrison, the rocker lead singer, late lead singer of the Doors, what if Jim Morrison was in fact a Time Lord, the Lizard Lord?
I enjoyed the sigh of exasperation from Kevin.
That yeah. So and Kevin,
David J's was the one where I was like, what is that? Like I looked at him, I was like, what? Yeah. Like Denny at least had the fez, which like Matt Smith wore. You and David J, though, I was just like, what are you two even doing? Like,
well,
I'm curious as to how is it that Dave gets David J to dress up like Dave's own personal Ken doll?
Oh, and David J was not happy. Like,
no.
David J kept being like, he was like, Dave.
Well, the thing was,
finish up. I would take this off.
The thing was, I had described the other three.
His arms.
Yeah, I described
like Mongo in Blazing Saddles.
Well, the other three Time Lord rejects was described, but Kevin wasn't. Kevin was like a bargain basement David Tennant.
Yeah.
He had the cosmic...
I had the actual sonic screwdriver.
The sonic screwdriver. So I said, my doctor, he'll be vain. He'll be like an aging hipster doofus that thinks he's, you know, the women still love him.
Basically,
so,
you're just playing you.
Yeah, so with the fake teeth, and I had the cosmic hair curler, the curling iron, cosmic curling iron. What did you have?
I had a sonic toothbrush.
He's very hygienic. And David J was the Time Lord that looked like either an aging rocker or a fat chick. A lot of people thought he was an overweight woman. He had a long...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
People wanted his phone number. They thought it was a... So
chubby
anyhow...
Chasers.
The fat chick thrillers were all just like, hey, baby.
Here's how into the Time Lord Rejects idea David J was. The second I finished dressing him up at the Wizard Philly men's room, he turned to me and he goes, when can I get out of this?
Mm. All right. Here's what I find very disturbing. This is the sentence that you dressed him up in the men's room.
Is that going to be a problem? Well, the thing is...
That's very disturbing.
Yeah.
Extremely disturbing.
There are people that get arrested for stuff like that.
Is there a future for the Time Lord Rejects? I'm not sure.
It might be time to put that one to bed.
All right. We did enjoy it.
But you know
what?
I will say that those album covers that you made were very entertaining.
I put a Beatlesque spin. We did, instead of Abbey Road, we did Crabby Road. Instead of Let It Be, we did Let It Die, because people want us to let this idea die.
It probably should have never been born.
And, oh, Denny was actually not Dr. What. Denny was actually...
Dr. What? A waste.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say something. I watched your Amazicon video last night, and I saw Denny's Italian Spider-Man, actually, and I've seen the pictures, but
yes,
I have to give it to him.
He nailed it.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was freaking hilarious.
Of course I did. Come on.
How awesome am I?
Now, yeah, so Wizard World Philly, what a phenomenal show. We had a great time. We can't wait to go back. And I would recommend Wizard World shows to anybody who, you know, is ever looking to go to a con. But now yesterday you guys went to another con. I didn't go to this one.
We went to, it's a first time show in South Jersey in Atlantic City, which is having some troubles with the casinos are folding and this and that, but that's a whole other issue. We went to something called Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, or
ACBC.
And this was a very good show for a first time effort. It would have been in our top three of the year, except there was a little scheduling problem that they dropped on us the day before the show started, which was
I got a ticket for Stan Lee.
I pre-ordered it.
How much?
It was only $80 because it's an autograph.
Still
but
a lot of
you
money.
You got like a meet and greet with a photo op, it was like $200. So the day before, I'm going on, and I see, like, him posting. He posted something on Facebook, a video. It says, I'm sorry, guys, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry, true believers.
Yeah, I can't.
Excelsior.
Yeah, all this crap. Said, I just can't make it. He had prior commitments. And I'm like, okay, so he's not going. I'm getting a little upset because I had a photo with him from the Baltimore Comic Con a couple years ago.
And the actual show posted nothing about that.
I was going to get to that.
Oh.
Take off your Harry Potter glasses, please. Thank you. So, so I had a photo that I got with him, like a photo op, and I wanted him to sign that. So, like I said, I went and bought the $80 thing, blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking online. I messaged them. I said, hey, it's like, are you guys giving refunds? Because obviously Stan Lee's not going to be here anymore. And they basically told me no. They said, what we are going to do is give you guys credit for the show. I'm like, well, if I wanted to buy an $80 or a $200 Spider-Man statue, I would have bought that statue. I want to see Stan Lee. I want his autograph.
And if I'm not seeing Stan Lee, you're not getting my $80.
Exactly. So anyway, so a lot of people were bitching, complaining on Facebook through their sites and everything. So they posted on, he canceled on Thursday, I want to say. And then Friday, everyone was bitching, complaining. And then finally, Friday night into Saturday, they posted that you have to put your confirmation number through an email. So if anyone's listening to this, go to refund@acbcrefunds.com.
You're looking at me?
No, I was looking beyond you. And you could go there and get your refund for any anything that happened to get their Stan Lee and got screwed over that.
As they should, because you don't know how incredibly annoying it is, because it's happened to me at a couple shows where you look forward to seeing somebody, you get there and like, oh, they canceled last minute.
Yeah, it does happen
because they've got a prior commitment. Well, if they had a prior commitment, then why did you commit to this?
Right. Last year at New York Comic Con, I really wanted to get Bulk and Skull from the Power Rangers together, but then Bulk didn't show up, so it was just Skull, and I'm like, I'm not going to meet just Skull.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
But cancellations, not just this show. We should point it out. We had a great time at ACBC, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But cancellations, especially for our heroes that are now in their mid-80s to mid-90s.
Right.
These are old people. And, yeah, it is depressing. And then what if you're a family from Virginia and you've all got four VIPs and the gas and the hotel room? You're out $1,000. And Stan Lee's not going to be there.
Yeah.
But also Julie Newmar. I'm the Batman guy.
Right.
I was going to suit up as skinny Adam West Batman.
But Julie Newmar wasn't there?
She canceled.
Thank God, because if she was, like he just said, he was going to dress up as Batman.
It would have ruined the whole day. Instead, I went with season two green shirt Captain Kirk. But also Tom Cavanaugh, who's not in his mid-80s, from The Flash, he canceled. So there was some cancellations. But this show had Adam West, Burt Ward, Michael Rooker, my guy who I was there to see, William Shatner.
Yeah, so how was the meeting with Shatner?
Good. It turned into a very Shatner-centric day.
Okay.
I brought my friend. You know my friend Nick.
Nicky?
We've been friends since the seventh grade. Nick was my original Mr. Spock. Yeah, and it was actually Nick jumped at the idea to split the $75, not meet and greet, just the photo op.
Okay.
So that's $37.50 after you split it in two.
Of course he did, because he's
cheap. I tried to get Nick to go full Spock. He would not put the pointy ears on. He would not let me permanent marker his eyebrows.
You need to stop wanting to dress people up. There's something creepy about dressing other people up.
It's selfish reasons, because he wants to make himself look good or better by dressing someone else to look like shit.
Ah. I feel that person, looking back at that photo now, the joke is on me, because I told Nick on the ride down, I said, Nick, no matter how good you look in this photo with William Shatner, the iconic Captain Kirk himself, seated between us, I'm going to crop you out. I'm going to make me and Bill Shatner my profile pic. We get there. It happens so quickly. They whisk you in behind it's like the Wizard of Oz. They push you through the curtains. Now, I've heard before sometimes Shatner won't engage the people. That day yesterday, everything he was doing, the photo ops, the 1 hour question and answer that we attended later, even that 4 seconds where we're there, he's talking to us. He was talking to everyone. The girl in front gave him a smooch on the cheek. He was the William Shatner that you hoped he would be, the Shatner that you see on the shows, the comedy roast.
Yeah, you always hope for that,
at
least.
But the problem was for that 4 seconds where we do the photo op, I wasn't fully prepared. Now, Nick's a little shorter than me, so Shatner's seated on a stool. So he's Nick level. I look like this big doofus holding a phaser with this horrible plunging neckline, green season two wrap shirt. My eyes look like deer in the headlights.
That's the funniest
picture.
They
click it. You could easily crop me out of this picture.
Like, it looks like he just like walked into frame as soon as they clicked the button.
Even hysterical. Shatner, when we got, Nick went and paid an extra $80 for the autograph, and we talked to him briefly there, and Shatner looks down at the photo and he points at me in the picture. He goes, "You look a little startled there." You know, and but it was fun. And then for me,
first Neil Adams, now this.
But I made my amends. I really came through flying colors with the Q&A. They did the 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. question and answer. He had to be on a plane back to Hollywood by 5:30. He shows up promptly at 4 o'clock. They let us all in. We're seated. We are in the second row from maybe like a 3 foot high little raised platform, and there's a chair for him. He comes out, crowd goes wild. He sits down. We're 10 feet, 12 feet from him max. He starts in with this funny story, and he does the Q&A. But the answers are incredibly long and elaborate and funny at times.
Kind of like what you're doing.
Yes, but I'll wrap it up.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes.
I was waiting for the right moment.
How was the William Shatner photo op? And now we're like 10
because
minutes later.
Because it's about Dave.
I don't want to make the Q&A all about myself. It was William Shatner.
You already made the show all about yourself.
But the first two questions that he fielded were just pathetic, sad questions. You know, besides Star Trek, what are you most proud of? Well, he's most proud of his new one-man show that he's still touring behind, that I interviewed him over and also reviewed it. But then finally, it was my turn. I seized the moment. I stood up. I said, Mr. Shatner, Bill, I think I speak on behalf of all of us in the room, how happy that we are that you're here with us today. Because, you know, Leonard Nimoy has only died 2.5 months ago. We're happy this man's still with us. I said, beyond that, my question is, this legendary feud that you have with George Takei, Sulu, is that for real or is it a public relations type thing? And he proceeded to, we'll upload the footage on our podcast site.
Even though this podcast hasn't been put yet, I already could tell that people already stopped listening.
It tuned out about a half an hour ago.
Yep. All right.
During the David Jay story.
Well, he answered quite humorously, and
so
that
did
was
you.
It.
Not humorously, but a little extensive. Forgot about that.
I'll tell you what. As my vow to the listener and to you, my friends, for the next 9 minutes, I won't say anything about ACBC. I'm turning my mic off right now.
Oh, I actually have a something I forgot about Wizard World. I had a Neil Adams situation. A situation with Neil Adams.
Oh, yeah,
did you get
it?
A restraining order?
Dave,
like
you can
Dave
talk
did?
During this because I want your opinions on it.
All right.
So Neil has this table that's probably about as long as this yard. I mean, like he's got a very long table filled with all these pictures and prints that he's signing and whatnot. And he's sitting there, and there is literally nobody at his table because I think what you said, Neil has priced himself out of relevance at this
point. Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
He charges an obscene amount. So there's nobody at his table. He's literally just sitting there. I walk up to the table, and I could be a customer. I could be purchasing one of his photos. And I say, "Hi, Neil, how are you?" He looks away from me.
Really?
And his wife says, like, "Oh, hi." Like, you know, trying to make the sale. And I just looked at him, like, my eyes got big. And I was like, I just kind of scoffed and walked away.
Really?
Because it was just like, wow.
That's kind of silly.
This sort of brings me to a point that's been annoying the crap out of me. Show after show after show, prices go up and up and up.
Yeah.
For what? For what? You're getting a case in point. This is even, like, not 10 years ago. I went to an autograph show that had some of the old school astronauts there. And here's Buzz Aldrin, okay? $125 at the time, just to get him to sign his name.
Right.
Another $10 for, like, a personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Another $10 or $20 for a mission. It's like, it's insane now.
I feel like they're trying to stay with times. Like, you know how, like, every year, like, taxes will go up.
Inflation.
I think it's such bull with something like that. That's not how it should work for that. You know what I mean?
Because inflation is a man-made creation.
Yeah.
It's all created through greed. It's, you know, money. If you think about it, money and even gold and jewels, they have no actual value. Like, we give it value. Tomorrow we could say the rocks that exist over by the bat pool over there. Like, those rocks are now the most valuable thing on the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, those rocks are then that
somebody
valuable.
Somebody will buy it.
We give it value. There is no actual value to any of this.
Well, I think people from Neil's, like, the old guard of comic book artists, and there's less and less of them every year, they look over and they see Rob Liefeld, and then they see these newer artists, and they're commanding big prices, and they're figuring, you know what, why shouldn't I?
Right.
Guys, we all love to give the gift of jewelry to our ladies. And ladies, shouldn't your jewelry tell the story of you? Personalized charm-based jewelry is all the rage right now. So, naturally, those large jewelry stores are going to try to price gouge you, making a simple token of your affection much more financially difficult. So thank goodness for My250.com. My250 allows you to personalize your own unique look through earrings, bracelets, necklaces, wine glass markers, and so much more. What's more, they have lines of products inspired by the popular 50 Shades of Grey and, my personal favorite, Disney. Their Disney stuff is absolutely off the chart. I got one for my wife. She absolutely loves it. They even take custom orders. So what are you waiting for? And what's more, listeners of the White Dragon Podcast Network receive 10% off when they enter the promo code WDPN15 at checkout. That's W, D as in dog, P as in podcast, N as in network, 15 as the promo code. So head on over to my250.com. That's M-Y numeral 2, F-I-F-T-Y.com. M-Y number 2, F-I-F-T-Y.com. And tell your own personal story with the jewelry that you wear.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top five lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
Hey, folks. Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network.
And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining.
Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com, with like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mousellaneous, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Anything else about ACBC?
I want to say that for one of their first shows, I had a blast.
Good.
And I'm not just saying that to hype it up or whatever. I had a great time at it. I think they did it. They did very well with how it was not crowded, mm-hmm. but it was just enough people that you could tell people were happy. They weren't, like we were talking about before, like, you know, like shoulder to shoulder walking around,
right.
Like, oh, can't do this, smelly guy here, get away from him, and this and that. It was not like that at all. It was very open. You could walk and not have to push people around. And even like they... Even like the lines for all the celebrities were just done so well. Security was perfect. It was a great show for the first time. I really hope that they have another one next year. It'd be great.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to say something about Denny. A lot of times I feel like he comes across the wrong way. We have huge fights about how I feel Denny presents himself. If it wasn't for Denny's set of balls, which I didn't have yesterday.
Or ever.
Denny stepped up and he got press for us.
That's
because
great.
Because we are press. And a lot of people didn't get pressed because they didn't get back to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Denny.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So now tickets for the New York Comic Con went on sale this last week.
Ooh,
oh, my
did
God.
They? New York Comic Con?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all going to that already.
We're going.
Press,
but a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't because they were hailing this like new ordering system that they have with like the unbootable queue. Like you can't possibly get booted from this queue, and people got booted from it.
I was actually on the quote-unquote virtual line for 2.5 hours. Mm. I must have got booted off at least 10 to 15 times.
Right.
Now, the reason why, even though I got pressed and we're going, is my buddy Mike Hemming that we've mentioned several times on other shows,
yep.
I was helping him out. And he wound up doing the same thing, and unfortunately, he wound up ordering tickets. When we finally got through, about 2.5 hours later, he got through and I got through. We both call each other up and be like, dude, we just got tickets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I just got you tickets.
So double tickets.
So now you got tickets, I got tickets. So now I had to find someone to sell them, which I did wind up selling. But I'm not one of those stupid scalpers
right.
that buy them and jack them up for
quick. Well, that was the other
money.
Problem everybody had is that scalpers were buying them in droves and then selling them on eBay.
Well, they should do the photo stuff. When you go over to buy the tickets, like you could buy them fine. That's great and dandy. But when you actually get to the con, you should show photo ID and match it with your freaking social security number or something.
Yeah, I
or
agree.
The credit card you used to
but
buy.
But wouldn't that lengthen the time in line?
It would, and I think that's why they don't do it.
Yeah, but there's something, San Diego Comic-Con, they did something like that worked perfectly. I never been, so I can't really say exactly how they did it, but a lot of people were comparing it, saying, why don't you guys do the San Diego, what they do? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't know, so it seems to work, so maybe they should just do something from them.
I mean, I know people that got booted from that queue that were just livid.
Well, yeah, but even if you get booted, what I was saying before is the only thing you have to do is hit the refresh button
but
and you stay in the same queue. So if you're number 50...
They had to issue an apology, though, because for some people that didn't happen. You got
lucky.
Oh,
really?
Like in the VIP, for the VIP tickets, that queue line, like my one buddy, the Alpha Geek, Kevin Apollo, he got booted from the queue and then he was just booted.
Do you know that they probably just copy and paste it from last year? They don't care. You know what I mean? They don't. They're just like, oh, we'll just apologize and everything's okay.
Yep.
Well, that made the news that night and social media went insane. Mm-hmm. Within minutes of that show selling out, people were scalping their tickets, like you said, on eBay.
Right. Well, because the other thing is that, like, you know, the New York show is now officially bigger than San Diego now.
Oh,
seriously?
Really?
Yeah, it had much more people.
Wow.
Outdrew San Diego last year. They actually announced it at New York. They did like a whole big thing in the main hall, like, we're bigger than San Diego.
But I still think the San Diego show is the pinnacle.
Well, because it's, you know, you're right down
you're
the street
right
from Hollywood, so the celebrities could just pop in. Like, you're not going to get Robert Downey Jr. showing up to New York. It's, you know.
I want to do that one year. I definitely want to.
Well, didn't George Clooney pop in briefly
last
year?
Yeah, he did. That was like the biggie. I was in that.
And you met Kevin Smith last year.
In the press lounge.
So, yeah, we like the show. It's huge. Be careful. You may be trampled by thousands of nerds if someone yells
smelly
fire.
Nerds.
Well, you know not to give David J. your backpack at New York Comic Con, though.
No, don't do that.
I got to start working on his costume.
What's he going to do?
Oh, there you go again. You got to dress up some other man. It's like
this is
going to
be a good one. Because last year he was Thor. We're going to go DC this time for Super David J. But we can't tell anyone, right?
You didn't even tell me, so I have no clue what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, Batmite.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
I forgot about
that. Edit
that
out.
No, I'm not editing that out. That's awesome. I'm your biggest fan.
A grown, an overgrown, slightly overweight man with a beard dressed as Batmite walking through New York City.
Crossing his arms across the
ground. Right?
That's
but he has to grow the beard out again.
Yes.
Because we did like a little like how he would look, like we put the mask on.
Oh, you did like a doodle?
Yeah, like, no, not a doodle. We actually put it on him to see what he would look like. It was really funny.
And you did mention Mike Hemmick, a good friend of ours, with the whole New York City ticket fiasco. Mike Hemmick, quick shout out. Your buddy. We're going to have a symposium cosplay, the pros and cons of cosplay someday.
Mike, that'd be a great debate to have on Bat Squad Radio, have the two of them on and have them debate and like moderate
Mike already knows how Gene feels about cosplay, and he can't wait to tear into Gene.
Well, sometime in October, he's going to, with the New York Comic Con, he's actually going to be in town.
Us.
He's staying over, so maybe
we'll do
put
it.
Something together.
My S live
but,
on
but,
radio.
But my shout out to Mike was for the second year in a row, I'm backtracking, the second year in a row at Wizard Philly this year, he won the costume contest.
Awesome. Well deserved with that stilt man costume.
Yeah, stilt man. Old school stilt man. Like
really?
Wally Wood era stilt man.
Well, I got to say, when he did that, what was that rocket robot costume that he did?
Rom.
Yeah, that was actually very nice.
He also did Rom during the day.
That
he did
was
three
very,
different
costumes very nice
at Philly.
I gotta hand it to Hemming though. He goes all out, man, and his costumes are top notch.
It's like folk art. He's a master craftsman.
The thing I have with cosplay is that people do it like half hearted. Then you just look like a douche.
Oh, you mean somebody, like Denny?
No, he looked good as Italian Spider-Man.
No, I meant what he did at ACBC yesterday.
I don't know what he did yesterday.
He did Star Trek.
I hate Star Trek. I'm going to be honest. I hate it. I think it's so stupid.
Fair.
Okay? So he was all excited doing his stupid Captain Kirk crap and all this stuff.
He looked
so
like a gay waiter.
With my lovely lieutenant.
Yeah, her. And so what happened was, is I was like, Dave, I was like, give me one of your shirts, because he probably has like 20 of them, like every freaking color.
He comes
bunch
prepared.
Of red ones and all this
it's
other
like
crap.
It's like Doc Brown in Back to the Future. He comes prepared for all monetary
possibilities.
Exactly.
So I was like, give me, I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to be called Captain Jerk.
I gave him the classic mustard yellow Kirk shirt, and he wore his baseball hat and his shorts, and we had the fake communicator, and he did his whole Captain Jerk routine.
So he was right. trying to be all smitten with this girl, Monica, that she did a...
I thought we weren't going to name names.
I don't care. So then he wound up doing the whole thing or whatever, and he was trying to be all, like, you know, like smitten with her, like, in the little scene.
And then I ran up
in front of the camera, and I just totally botched the whole thing. I don't want to give away much of it, because I want it to be
posted.
Fine.
But you could tell Denny really doesn't like the show, because, and this really bugs us Trekkers, he calls the television series Star Trek with an A.
Yeah, it is Star Trek, right?
Well,
yeah.
As kids, we sort of
like,
did that, too, because you just sort of just mispronounced it as a kid.
Anymore.
But you're dressing up like one.
To meet William Shatner.
All right.
It would be sad if Shatner wasn't there.
But getting back on point, when Mike Hennig does his stuff,
yes,
he goes all out.
But you are going to take him to task over how odd and weird you think cosplay is when we finally do that episode.
I don't like the drama in cosplay.
Gene, did you notice his sideburns, though?
Dude, really?
I did Captain Kirk's sideburns.
You did Captain Kirk's sideburns.
Captain Kirk 1967 sideburns.
Because I was season two.
Well, hey, guys, I would hate to cut you guys off, but we had a bunch of other things to get to. But
can we just cut Dave
pretty
off?
Much used our time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're at 50 minutes already.
Well,
so
how about...
We're going to have to cut this episode a little short, maybe have some stuff in the pipeline for next time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I just want to tap on one thing for cosplay. Okay.
Okay.
I want our three fans to come up with what my new cosplay should be. I want to do another cosplay. Remember, I'm kind of chubby, short. You could be as stupid or fun with it. I don't care. I just want some opinions on what everyone thinks I should do.
Oh, right. I already got it. We don't need the fans. We don't need their input.
I don't care what you have to
remember
say.
Remember that cartoon, The Wacky Racers?
Yes.
I'm going to be Dick Dastardly.
Oh, I've been saying this for forever that you guys need to do this.
I'm going
to
be Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
And he's going to be my Muttley. So you just have to learn the.
You're the voice guy. You can do it.
We're not going to talk about how underperforming and underwhelming Avengers.
We'll have to talk about it next time.
We're really out of time.
It's your goddamn fault.
It's
so
your
stop
fault.
Acting surprised, jerk off.
We can't edit some of that stuff.
Nope.
Out?
No.
So
are you guys really mad at me?
No.
No.
We just make fun.
I'm pretty annoyed though, because you didn't shut up.
Well, folks, but before we close out for this week, I just wanted to bring another cause to everybody's. To everybody's attention, our good friend Mikey Wisenhunt, who is kind of the unofficial WDPN graphics guy now, his son, his 10-year-old son Boston, is afflicted with Hodgkin's lymphoma, it's a rough road, and obviously in things like this, the medical bills pile up. It's a huge strain on the family. So if anybody wants to, just show some support, you can go to facebook.com/Boston's Journey. Or if you wanted to donate to help out, Mikey and his family, you can go to GoFundMe.com/Boston's Journey as well. So anything you guys can give would be very much appreciated and help out. It's always, cancer is always terrible, even more so when it happens to a child. So, I don't mean to bring the room down, but, it's a member of the WDPN family, host of Actively Distracted Dialogue here on the network, good friend of the show. Please, folks, give him a hand, and everything would be appreciated. Thank you. All right. So, you want to touch on the Avengers real quick?
Yeah. I was told not to go see it because it was too...
You would hate it. You would hate it.
It was too action-packed, and I don't like action in movies.
No.
Well, you too. Did you see it, Gene? We'll just cut all of
I'm
Gene
probably
going
to wind up going to see the Mad Max film when I'm on vacation next week.
I had
no desire to see that, but then I'm hearing good stuff about it.
It got great reviews
from
everybody.
Like,
but yeah,
I don't know.
Avengers, everybody was thinking it was going to be a $210 million opening weekend domestically. It was 189 or something, 181, which is still phenomenal. It's hit $1 billion this week, but it's not going to unseat James Cameron like everybody was hoping it would. Yeah.
So Kevin and Denny saw Avengers 2. What was your?
I liked it. It was fun. I didn't like it. I didn't love it as much the second time around when I saw it. Very, very action packed. If you were one of those people that thought Man of Steel was too action packed, then you should hate this movie. But nobody that said that does hate this movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just couldn't stand the whole spoiler love interest.
Yeah,
crap.
The
that was just unnecessary.
The Brutasha love interest, yeah, Bruce Banner stupid. And Natasha Romanoff.
I was getting tired of like the funniness that they try to put into it. I was getting tired of that.
Ultron went from being a cool classic comic book villain to just being another Joss Whedon villain.
Exactly.
Like it sounded like he was coming right out of an episode of Buffy.
Yep.
All right, so we about ready to pack it in for this week?
Yeah, one last thing. You guys aren't really upset with me.
No.
I am.
I'm not.
I think when we listen back on this episode.
No, I enjoyed this episode. It was good to have a full con talk episode. We were con men this week.
And you said you weren't really into it and you didn't even want to be here this morning.
No,
so I carried your weight.
But I still could have talked.
I brought bagels.
And yeah, Gene brought
bagels. And we should apologize for his shitty microphone today.
Thanks, Mort.
Damn you, Mort.
Mort, you dick.
You had one job, Mort. Seriously.
New campaign. Screw Mort.
Hashtag.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's going to do for Bat Squad Radio this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Facebook. You can go to join our group at facebook.com/groups/Bat Squad Radio. And be sure to check out the White Dragon Podcast Network on Facebook, facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. Or follow it on Twitter at White Dragon PN. Also, you can check out the New Jersey Bat Squad on YouTube at youtube.com/NJBatSquad. Find all the great fandoms. The Time Lord Rejects Wizard World Philly film going to be coming, I believe, next week or weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, and next week, according to Dave, who was off microphone. So we want to thank Gene, as always, for being here. Thank you so much for coming. He said, my pleasure, gentlemen, and the microphone didn't pick it up. Thanks, Mort.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
All right, folks. So, Denny, any closing words?
Yeah, Dave is an ass dick.
Okay, Dave, any closing words?
Denny is awesome.
All right, folks. For Gene O'Brien, for New Jersey Spider Denny, for New Jersey Bat Dave, my name's Kev L. We will see you next time. Same Bat Squad time, same Bat Squad channel.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.